Thank you, and be seated, please. I'm John Byers, and I'd like to add my word of welcome to worship at Conyers First this morning. And we want you to know that love does have a name. Love does have a voice, Jesus Christ. And we serve a God who is all about doing good. He is the one who has shed grace and goodness on all of us. And my prayer is that through an experience of worship today, you would get in touch with the one who loves you and has incredible plans for your life, that you might get in touch with your untapped spiritual potential. Because we are about creating community here, I'd like to invite you to find the white connection card in your worship folder, simply because I'd like to know that you are here. If you'd be so kind to fill out the front side, then hold on to it. We'll refer to the back side later on. This morning in the life of our church, we're gathering together at the Lord's table to celebrate Holy Communion. It's the meal that binds brothers and sisters in Christ together around the world. Now, in the Methodist Church, this is an open table. So it does not matter where you have come from, what your traditional denominational background is, or whether or not you're a member of this great church. If you want to come into the presence of the Almighty and be fed by His amazing grace, you're invited to come to Holy Communion this morning. Now, it's our tradition at Conyers First that we receive a special offering at Holy Communion for a special mission project. We call it our Good Samaritan offering. And as I told you last week, and as I mentioned today again in the worship folder, 100% of the offering this month will go to benefit our Care and Counseling Center ministry at Conyers First. It's been one of my great dreams that we would have a licensed professional Christian counselor attached to this church. There are so many needs in people's lives these days, even in a great church like this. And you will help me be able to refer people that I really believe could benefit from licensed professional Christian counseling by providing the resources to give them a session or two to see if this would help them on their journey of life. Reverend Dan and I administer this fund very confidentially, and every dollar you give will help somebody find a better way in Jesus' name. This church is all about mission, and this week we have the privilege of hosting another homeless family in the life of our church through the Family Promise Ministry of New Rock. They come tonight. They'll be here all week long, and we still need volunteers. Volunteers on Wednesday to be overnight hosts and hostesses and some additional meal volunteers. The sign-up sheet will be just outside the worship center here in a few minutes after the service. I am so proud of the heartbeat for mission in this church. I got a letter 2 weeks ago from the very first family that we hosted. It was Christmas Day that we received them, 2011. Mr. Brown's his name. He gave me permission to tell his story. He's not only now gainfully employed, but found a management position that fits his skills. In a time of real crisis in the life of his family, you and I helped give him a hand up in the name of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And I'd like your help in doing that for another family this week. Would you pray with me about the mission heart of the church and that we would be God's hands and feet for those who hurt in this community and be a source of hope for them? Father, in Jesus' name, we do acknowledge that you're the giver of every good and perfect gift. We do acknowledge that you are the author of love, that love has a name, love has a voice, and that name is Jesus, the name above all names. We gather in your presence today, Lord, because we want to know the power of that love, and we want to show and share the power of that love in His name. God, we thank you for this mission-minded church. We thank you especially for its heart for those who are broken. God, continue to give us the resources and the passion to be a part of hands-on ministry, meeting people where they need us most, sharing a cup of cold water, sharing the name that is above every name, and calling them to new life through the blood of the cross. God, we thank you for today. Wherever we are in our journey, we pray that you'll speak to our hearts and our minds. Remind us of our value because we belong to you. Forgive us our sins and call us to life, real life, as we follow Jesus. And God, because we love you, we join our hearts together to say thank you for your amazing grace and goodness in our lives. And we pray always and only in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. We love because He first loved us, and we give because He first gave to us. As you're seated, I invite our ushers to come forward that we might live from the inside out and give tangible expression to how good God is for us. In the quietness of these moments, the band continues to play. Let these words really minister to your heart. Jesus, you are more than a friend. This morning we're continuing a 40-day study based on the model prayer Jesus gave us called the Lord's Prayer. And the theme of this particular study is finding God's heart. It's created by a great renewal leader in the United Methodist Church, Dr. Terry Teekle. And so many of you have gotten the study guide, and we've worked together through 2 weeks. The theme of this text for me is the providence of God. Can we really trust God to provide for us? Is that really His heartbeat? Does He really care about you and me in our particular circumstances of life? I've discovered that that's almost a dividing point for Christians. Either we can live into life with great confidence and hope that no matter what comes our way, God's got our back, so to speak, that we are being held confidently in the Father's hand, that there is a plan bigger than we can even see that we can trust, or we live out of a great sense of fear. I don't know if I really am loved. I don't know if God really does care. Heck, I don't even know if God exists. My goal in this study is that you would grow into the promise of God's character, that He delights to provide for His people. It's not just that He can do it. It's that God wants to provide for you and me right where we are. So I'm focusing in on great texts in the Bible that speak of God's character of providence. And this morning I want us to turn to the Old Testament, to one of the great passages that God used in my own life when He was beginning to call me into ministry. Joshua chapter 1, verses 7 through 9 speak powerfully of God's character of providence. God's desire and delight to provide for you and me. The Lord God said to Joshua, the great hero leader of the people of the Old Testament, "Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Why? For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Having wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, griping and complaining, the people of God feeling deprived and ignored, the people of God wrestling with their own sinfulness, God decides it's time to provide for His people. And though Moses had gotten them only so far, it was time to raise up a new leader, a new generation of leaders, to take our Old Testament ancestors across the River Jordan into the Promised Land, that land that was proclaimed their own land, the land over which we're still fighting today in Israel. God raises up a new leader in whom He sees great potential, Joshua, but in whom He recognizes great fear and uncertainty. Could that not describe every one of us today? People that have untapped potential, but on the other hand, fear and uncertainty. Isn't it that fear and uncertainty that causes you and me to resist living into our full potential, afraid, concerned, uncertain? God speaks to Joshua and in effect says, "I have a great plan for your life. I see your untapped potential, and now I'm giving you a great command. Be strong and courageous. And with my help, you will be successful and prosperous in all of the things you do that really matter." Now, I'd like for you to mark this passage in your Bibles this morning, because I believe this passage teaches us two incredibly important truths about living a life that is marked by real courage, real spiritual strength, a life of courage and spiritual strength that does lead to a measure of success and prosperity in the areas of our lives that really matter. And I want you to notice what those two things are. Because I believe every single one of us need to live into these two great biblical affirmations. I've noted them for you on your outline, and I want you to look with me in the text. First of all, to live a life like Joshua that has real character and strength to it, we must adopt a confident assurance of God's presence in our lives. Look with me in verse 9. "Have I not commanded you," the Lord says, "be strong and courageous, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged." Why? And it's the why that really matters. This why is the most repeated promise in all of the Bible, from Genesis all the way through to the book of Revelation. And what is this singular, most often repeated promise? The Lord your God will be with you wherever you go, whatever you do. Simple as that. The entire Word of God is built on a covenant relationship of a God who wants to be with you. A God who wants to speak to you. A God who wants to give you the character of spiritual strength and courage. A God that delights to provide for you so that you know in your own heart, in your own family life, a measure of success and prosperity in the areas of life that really matter. I wonder, my friend, do you have the confident assurance of God's presence in your life? Just as Jesus was preparing to ascend into heaven, His ministry on earth done, our debts paid on the cross, the resurrection confirming that He is God's one and only divine Son and our Savior. Jesus gave command at the end of the book of Matthew, command for us to go into all the world, to teach, to preach, to baptize. And then Jesus makes this remarkable promise. It reflects the heart of God. And I love it best in the King James Version. And Jesus said, "Lo, I am with thee always." I want to pause for just a minute and ask the most important question I might ever ask you. Do you know intimately, not just here, but here, the presence of God's favor and God's interest and God's intimate companionship in your life? Do you know it? For those of you who do, you're whispering under your breath, "Hallelujah, amen. He's brought me over. He's bridged the gap. He's set me free." You can hum in your heart the words of that 19th century evangelical hymn writer who penned these words, "And He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me," what? "I am His own. I am worth something." And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I long for you to know the intimacy of the Almighty through Jesus Christ, and to have His intimate presence give you a confident assurance that you are never alone. What's His most often repeated promise in the Bible? He repeats it so often because He's afraid we'll miss it. He repeats it so often because He wants to make sure we get it. What's His most often repeated promise in all of the Bible? "I will be with you." If you don't know the intimate presence of the Almighty, I want to help you find it, discover it. But you can begin yourself by simply saying, God, I take you at your word, and I want to know that you're with me. I want to live into your promise. I want my spirit to be built up into a man, a woman of spiritual strength and confidence based on your character, that you, the God who delights to provide, is with me. I want to pray for you. I want to encourage you. But I want you to begin this morning just to ask, God, I take you at your word. God, I'm asking you to make yourself real to me. God, I'm believing that you want to strengthen me and encourage me. So God tells Joshua that you can do this. You can do this. But the first condition in doing this is that you have a confident assurance of my presence in your life. But secondly, I want you to notice a confident commitment to the Word of God. Now, we're talking Old Testament terms here, the Torah, the Pentateuch, the five first great books of the Bible, which was, at the time, the only revealed Word of God at that point. Listen again to what God says. Joshua 1, beginning again in verse 7. Be strong and courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. God is saying, I have some very clear lines by which you can travel the highway of life at very high speed. But go beyond those lines and you're going to end up in the ditch. You know, why do we have stripes? Why does the DOT put lines on I-20? Do we really need lines? If we didn't have the lines, we could drive maybe five or six cars abreast, right? We could just all crowd our way in. Any of you, when you were little, used to go to Six Flags? Remember the Dodge City bumper cars? Remember? It's a free-for-all. And how often do the cars actually travel freely? Not very often. Most of the time, they're bunched up. Now, you have a great time. But that doesn't work well with life. God has laid some very definite lines for us. Not to keep us out, but to keep us in the high-speed lane of life. He goes on to say, keep this book of the law always on your lips, meditate it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be, what? Prosperous and successful. Friends, let's avoid our natural materialistic urge. New car, new house, new this, new that. No, we're talking about the spiritual things that really matter. Relationships that are really meaningful and successful. That's what it comes down to. Relationships that really prosper, that really bring a measure of fulfillment. Remember, everything in the Bible is built on relationships. Now, if I were to ask you the question, do you believe in the Word of God? I wonder how many of you would say, well, yeah, sure, I believe in the Word of God. I hope you would say, I believe in the Word of God. But here's the more important question. How many of you actually know what the Word of God actually says? Not what your mama says, not what your daddy says, not what your grandmama says. I love my grandmama. I believe my grandma. But not what she says, not even what the preacher says, that I have the capacity myself to read, interpret, understand, and apply the matchless Word of God in my own life. Have you noticed in the worship folder it's time to sign up for Disciple Bible Study for a new semester? The single most helpful Bible study you can be a part of to give you an overall view of the Word of God and help you better than anything I know to get in touch with the heart of God, the character of God, the compassion of God, the passion that God has for us. This study that we're sharing in by Terry Teagle is all about believing that God is with us and trusting the God of providence, trusting our God who delights to provide for us. And you can live with the confidence of the God of providence. When, like Joshua, you hear God's voice say, be strong and courageous. Why? because I am with you wherever you go. When secondly, you hear the voice of God saying, take seriously my word. Let it be your guide. Let it be your strength. Let it be the lines on the highway of life for you. And then you will have a measure of success. You will prosper in your relationships. Life will be worth living. I wonder, do you know Christ Jesus personally? This morning, as we come to Holy Communion, we have an opportunity to say, come Lord Jesus Christ into my life, literally, as we receive the body and blood of Christ. Lord Jesus, I want to believe as Joshua believed in a God who can make me strong and courageous. I want to believe in a God who delights to offer me spiritual prosperity and success. And Lord Jesus, I'd like to become intimate with Him today. And so as we come to the Lord's table today, I hope that'll be your prayer. Lord, I want to know that you are with me always. Amen. I invite you to follow the proper responses on the screen this morning that we might share together in this feast of God's goodness and grace for our lives. Hear now this invitation. Christ our Lord invites to His table all who love Him and seek to grow into His likeness. Let us draw near with faith, make our humble confession, and prepare to receive this holy sacrament. Let us pray together, saying, we do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own goodness, but in your unfailing mercies. We are not worthy that you should receive us, but give your word and we shall be healed. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. If we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we are serious about being transparent with God, if we really invite Him into our hearts, He does miraculous things. And so it gives me a great deal of joy based on the authority of the matchless Word of God and my office as a minister in His church to declare that you and I are forgiven people. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And because of all that God has done for us in Christ, nothing remains hidden. The freedom that Christ gives us cuts into the curtain that separates us from His holy presence. We no longer have to fear. We no longer have to cower. We simply enter in. And so I can say with great joy, lift up your hearts and let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, you made us in your image to love and to be loved. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remains steadfast. By the suffering, death, and resurrection of your only Son, Jesus Christ, you delivered us from slavery to sin and death and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which Jesus gave Himself up for us, He took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to His disciples, and said, take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When the supper was over, He took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to His disciples and said, drink from this all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ offering for us. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them to be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by His blood.
by your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at His heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And with the confidence of the children of God, we are bold to pray together as Jesus Himself taught us to pray, saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. In the breaking of the bread, we are graphically reminded of God's commitment to us in Jesus Christ, reminding us how His body was pierced and torn. It was violently taken that our lives might be restored. In the breaking of the bread, I'm reminded of the ancient prophecy from Isaiah in the Old Testament. He wrote about the suffering servant, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement, the punishment for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes, by his wounds, we are healed. As you witness the breaking of the bread, as you come to receive these sacred tokens, may God Himself truly fulfill His promise to begin a healing miracle in your life. Wherever you're hurting, wherever you're challenged, wherever you're broken, wherever you are struggling, may the blood of Christ be God's healing balm for your life. Hallelujah. St. Paul said, Christ, our Passover lamb, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. Hallelujah. I invite you to join me in speaking this ancient hymn of praise as together we say, O Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. O Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. O Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, grant us your peace. And it is the peace of God that passes all understanding that is offered at this holy table today. Now, because we do share out of a common chalice, you're invited to receive just a dollop of hand sanitizer. Come with your hands open to receive from the Lord consecrated, unleavened wafer, just as the Old Testament Passover prescribes. Ever so reverently dip it into the chalice, allowing these two holy tokens to commingle together. Then receive them by faith. As you receive from the Lord, then I invite you to leave your special offering for our care and counseling center here. As you receive the healing grace of God, may others receive the healing grace of God as well. I'm going to invite our new youth minister, Kristen Crawford, to come and join me here, and together we're going to serve you. Come by the middle aisle, receive these tokens of God's grace, and then return to your seat. I invite you to join me in the prayer of thankful dedication as together we say, Eternal God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you have given yourself to us. Grant that we may go into the world in the strength of your Spirit to give ourselves for others. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. As we conclude our service this morning, I invite you to find again the white connection card. And on the back side is an opportunity for you to respond to the Word of God today. First of all, I'd like for you to memorize with me Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. The Lord your God will be with you wherever you go.
other opportunities to respond. How privileged I would be to talk with you about receiving Christ personally as Savior and Lord and beginning an intimate relationship with Him. How pleased I'd be to talk with you about joining with us in this great and diverse church to advance the cause of Christ through loving and sacrificial service among people who need us the most. You would find a warm welcome here. Maybe you're really struggling right now in your life journey, and you could benefit from a Stephen minister, a specially trained and commissioned member of this church who has received certification in Christian care giving, to listen, to walk with you through the challenging moments of life. Wherever you are in your spiritual journey, you're welcome at Conyers First. And as the music plays for just a moment, I invite you to complete your connection card. When you're finished, fold it over and leave it with an usher as you depart from the worship center. I invite you to rise for the benediction, God's good word for your life, and the seal and the sign of our sure salvation, the cross of Jesus Christ. And now, as always, my friends, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you, His healing and approving smile, and best yet, give you peace, perfect peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen, and good morning.